Our gospel reading is found in Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 36 and following. Jesus told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says, the old is better. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we begin a new series, and I want to think about making this a great year. And it goes with the great children's message by Brenda. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this nun who was working for a local healthcare agency where she would drive and visit folks in their home. And as she was driving and visiting folks at her home, she happened to run out of gas, and so she saw a gas station down the street, and so she decided to walk down to the gas station and try to borrow a can so she could put gas in it and come back and put gas in her van and continue. And so she went to the gas station. The attendant said, "I'm sorry, I don't have a gas can. You have to go and find something to put gas in." And so she went back to her van, and she looked around, and the only thing that she could find was a bedpan. And so she took the bedpan to the gas station and asked the gas station to fill that up. And so the attendant filled up the bedpan with gas, and she went back to her van and began to pour that into the gas tank. And across the street, two men in an alley looked at that, and one turned to the other and said, "Now that is what I call faith. If that car starts, I'm going to church next Sunday." Well, lots of things can get us to make a new resolution in life. And for me, I don't know what you did New Year's Day, but I did my tradition, which is to watch some football after coming to church. And then I always sort of reflect on the blessings of the year past. And then I try to set some new goals, see how I did with last year's goals, but to set some new goals for myself and to redouble on some of the ones that I haven't accomplished yet. And it's kind of like a fresh sheet of paper. And you probably come up with some new things. My daughter came to me and said that, Daddy, I want to go to New York City and study photography. And I said, "Well, where'd that come from?" I said, "Isn't there something in Indiana or Florida or something like that?" So I said, "Oh no, it's got to be New York City." I said, "Well, you better start saving right now." So anyway, so she's working on some extra chores. But in any case, sometimes there's New Year sort of, you know, challenges us to come up with some new goals and to think about for a moment, how do we make this a great year for our lives and set better goals and accomplish great things for God? And I think the first thing is most of us want a fresh start in some sort. I mean, there's a great survey given to people that were 95 years and older and asked them if they had a chance to live their life again, what would they do differently? And there was a resounding three themes that came from that. And they said this: they would risk more, they would reflect more, and they would do more things that last. To risk more, to reflect more, and to do more things that last. I think for all of us, that kind of helps us to think about our goals and how we make that part of our life. I love these two New Testament readings. They're great readings to think about and to reflect on in the new year. And in this first gospel reading here, the setting is this. Jesus was teaching in a home, and the home was so crowded from the teaching that people couldn't get in. And so these friends of this man who'd been paralyzed all of his life brought them on a litter, on a little bed they could carry, to the house in order to have Jesus heal him. And seeing the house was so crowded, they couldn't get in. And so, undeterred, they ended up crawling up on the roof, hoisted him up, and then began taking the tiles out of the roof and then lowered him down in the roof. Now, you can imagine if someone was tearing the roof off here this morning, the commotion that might take place. But Jesus was unbothered by any of that. In fact, Jesus looked at these men, their faith, for them, their love for their friend, and says that he admired them. And then he looked at this young man and said, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, they hadn't expected that Jesus was going to forgive sins. They were thinking about the fact that he couldn't walk. But it isn't like Jesus sometimes, when we're so focused on the external, on the outside, that Jesus looks at the problem on the inside first. Now, not the two were related at all, but Jesus first forgave the man's sins. Well, the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, were all upset about that, and it was scandalous. And so Jesus looked at them after they said, who does he think he is that he could forgive sins? And Jesus says, is it easier to forgive sins or to heal? And with that, Jesus looked at this young man and said, rise and walk. And he did. He was healed in that moment, took up his bed and walked. And of course, everyone was amazed by that. But then Jesus left there. And upon leaving, he saw a tax collector. Now, tax collectors of that time were people who really had a license from Rome to cheat people, basically. And so they would buy the taxes from Rome, and they would overcharge people for the taxes. And obviously, it was a symbol of Roman oppression as well, a symbol of cheating people. And so they were regarded as some of the worst sinners in the world. And so Jesus looked at this tax collector by the name of Levi and invited him to follow Jesus. Now, that, once again, was scandalous. And then this man was so excited about a fresh start that he invited Jesus to his dinner, to his home for dinner. And not only did he invite Jesus, he invited all of his friends, and they happened to be friends that weren't of the best reputation. So once again, the scribes and Pharisees were upset that Jesus was with these people of basically a bad repute. And Jesus looked at him and said, who is it that needs a physician, the well person or the sick person? And in that context, Jesus told this parable. He said, no one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. And Jesus challenges him with that. And Jesus once again points that, I think, to the inside, that something new that has come in Christ requires something new, a new container. And the only real new life starts from within. This idea of you who sow, I'm not a good sower, so, but I know this theory that if you have a pair of jeans or something and it's worn out and you get a tear in it and you want to sew a patch on it, you got to have a patch that's already been pre-shrunk or washed to match. Otherwise, the patch is going to shrink and tear. Or the other way around, if you have a new pair of jeans and they haven't been shrunk or pre-shrunk or whatever, you put a patch on it, then, you know, it's old, then it's not going to match once again, and it's going to tear, and both are going to be ruined. And so Jesus alludes to that. I think it's this parable that is, you have to go back in time just a little bit, but Jesus talks about if you put new wine into old wineskins. Now, wineskins, in fact, there's sort of a revival now of wineskins. They're new kind of fashionable ones. They look like a little slang here. But in olden days, that was the thing that people would keep wine in. Now, wineskin is usually a goat skin turned inside out. And of course, if you have new wine, it had to be poured into new wineskins because the skin isn't stretched out yet. And if you put new wine into old wineskins that have already been stretched out, then when the wine ferments, as it ages, then it's going to burst this wineskin. They had small wineskins you could carry and others that were large as a barrel. And so Jesus is speaking something that's very true to them. They know that this is the case, that you need new wineskins for new wine. But then Jesus says kind of something interesting that alludes that there's more of a process to that. He says this, and no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. So Jesus, at one and the same time, I think, is saying, for a new start, you need a new life that comes only through Christ. But there's also a process that's involved, an aging and wisdom of discipleships that takes place that is not easy and takes time. And that kind of refined wisdom of life takes some time, and we can appreciate that. And I think as we're thinking about that, and thinking about a new year and a new start, and of course, a new start only comes from Christ, but Paul had some insight as he wrote Philippians later in life from a prison cell to a church in persecution, as Jake alluded to. And Paul has some wisdom that he offers us on how to make a new start and to press on in our goals. And as he's talking about this battle, this fight, you know, Paul had much in his life that he had gone from being one who persecuted the Christians to one who preached to crowds and converted them to Christ. And he had been one who was on the top 10 list of those to be most feared with Christians and to one of the great disciples of all time, and who wrote at least a third of the New Testament. And Paul shares his wisdom to this church undergoing persecution. He says this, not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect or reached my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Beloved, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And he uses this imagery to press on. I think that's the first thing. If we're going to have a new life, the first thing really is we need to allow Christ to change and start our life. And the second thing is we need to press on, as Paul says, to press on. And that's not always easy. I mean, we face adversity and difficulty. And Paul himself had undergone some tremendous adversity in life. He'd been shipwrecked a number of times. He'd been beaten and left for dead. He'd been thrown in prison cells, and he'd been persecuted in ways that we wouldn't want to. And yet Paul knows this as he's looking at life and sharing his wisdom. He says that we need to press on, to sort of push forward, if you will. And then the next thing I think that is important is Paul says that we need to forget what is behind. And if you think about Paul for a moment, I mean, sometimes we think, well, you know, he is this, obviously this great saint, and we appreciate his writings, and God used him in remarkable ways. But he started out his life by persecuting the church in a powerful way. And so Paul knew what it was like to need a fresh start and knew what it was like to need to forget what was behind. And he says this again to kind of put it in context. Not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Beloved, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what lies ahead. You think about that, forgetting what lies behind. I don't think this is a kind of a denial. I think for all of us, you know, most of us have some failures and some shortcomings in life, and we want to put those behind us, and it's important to be able to do that. And there's a sense, too, in which sometimes even victories can hold us back. You know, there's some folks who have had some great victories and celebrations in life, and they celebrate it, but not really able to let go of it. And sometimes they end up sort of living in the past. And I think there's things that we want to treasure, but we need to be able to play them forward. And so there's a sense in which we need to take our failures and our shortcomings and let go of those. And there's and press forward. And there's a sense in which we need to take the victories and celebrations and let them have their proper place, and then to keep forward and to see the things that are in front of us. And you think for a moment about the things in Paul's life that he had to celebrate. He says this first. He says, if anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, these are things that Hebrews, Jewish people would really lift up. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. And Paul's saying, listen, I have all these things to celebrate. But then he puts it in the context and he says this, yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I regard them as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, as nothing, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. And Paul knew what success was, but he was able to put that behind him and celebrate that. And then Paul also knew what failure was. And in terms of his sort of the shortcomings of his past, he'd even stood beside and held the coats of the first martyr of the church. You can read about it in the book of Acts. And Paul says this, when he writes to the church in Corinth. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature, old has gone, the new has come. Only Christ can make all things new. And you think in the Bible, as you look throughout the Bible, it's interesting to see all these kind of saints that all had their past. They all had their failures. And you think about Moses for a moment, how he killed a man, and it might have even been for a just cause, but it wasn't in the right way. And then God used him after God formed and fashioned him in the backside of the desert and enabled him to lead Israel from slavery to freedom and through the wilderness to the promised land. You think about Jonah, who, when God called him to go and preach righteousness to the city that was a wicked city, then Jonah ran the opposite direction, but later God, after an encounter with a whale, enabled him to fulfill that call. And you think about King David, who failed at one point in his life miserably, but shared his repentance to the whole world in Psalm 51, and God gave him a fresh chance. And you think about the woman caught in adultery and how Jesus faced down her persecutors and then offered her forgiveness and a fresh start. And in the same way, I think that God offers us a new life. And think about even Peter, who is closest to Jesus, and Jesus predicted his failure, then Peter denied Jesus not once, but three times. And Jesus, after his resurrection, went and found Peter and assured him three different times that his ministry would continue and God's grace and forgiveness was there. And so when I think in our own ways, if you think about how we look at the past, I think you don't want to just leave behind the lessons of the past, the celebrations, but I think maybe the right context is a rearview mirror. And not if you're backing up, but if you're going forward, you know, you want to occasionally look in the rearview mirror, but you can't drive that way. You know, you got to drive with the windshield. So if you look at the relative size of the front windshield versus the rearview mirror, that's about the right, maybe the right sort of proportion in life. Appreciate the past, celebrate it, and learn from it, but also look forward. What's in the future? God has some lessons for us to learn, and God has some goals for us to press forward. And so to be able to press on and then forget what is behind, and then the final thing is to strain toward what is ahead. And Paul knew what it was like to face difficulty and adversity in life, and yet he says this as he's writing to these folks facing challenge and adversity. Beloved, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That word straining forward is just a beautiful kind of image of someone straining forward to a goal in life. And I love the children's sermon that Brenda shared this morning and how that, you know, Grant had some great goals in life. And I recall that when Grant came to me, not that long before he passed away, and it was sort of sudden and tragic. But he had won this award from Wabash National for putting rivets in, and he's so proud of that award. But he told me, you know, he wanted to share that with the young people, but that wasn't really what he wanted to share. What he wanted to share with them was that about setting goals and how important it was, and how important it was to thank God for every day, and that was the heart of it. And I was so glad that he shared that, and he had great goals and was able to strain towards what was ahead and accomplish a lot. I think too of Lisa, who also passed away tragically this past year and accomplished some amazing things in a short life. And I think one of the things that marks her life is to have goals that she could press forward towards. And she had great goals and was able to, these running, such a great imagery in life, and to strain forward in these half marathons or marathons, and takes tremendous pressing forward and a focus on goals. And our hearts still grieve, but I think there's much in their life that we can learn as really young people, taken too soon from us, but had some great lessons, and they were able to pour a whole lifetime into a quarter of a century. This Greek word is epikalaimenos, and it means epic, which is a long journey, you know, epic novel or epic movie, an epic journey. So it's epic, and then kalaimenos is to forge forward eagerly. It's kind of like an adventure. If you think of a long trip or a long odyssey, and to know that there's some hills and valleys in life, but you move eagerly ahead with a positive attitude, and that's what it takes to strain forward in life at some goals that are really worthy. That word goal in the Greek is the word skopos, that we get the word scope from. If you think of a marksman who's able to focus on something a long distance away and therefore to hit the target. In our own life, what's the goals that we focus on, long range, that we sort of aim the scope of our life at? And Paul's saying, listen, my goals in life that enable me to strain forward is that I try to look at the prize that God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us have been given the gift of life. And that life may last a decade or may last 10 decades. The question is for us in New Year, do we have goals that are worthy of pursuing? Do we take the gifts and talents that God has given us? We're all given different gifts and talents, and use them in a way that honor God and serve others and serve God in a way that helps us to pursue goals that will last longer than our lifetime. You think of those three things that older people said in looking back their life: to risk more and to reflect more and to do more that lasts for a lifetime beyond their own. And so Paul has this wisdom, and he's saying, listen, what you need to do is to realize that God gives us a whole new life, and it only comes through Christ. but we're also given a life. And like that sort of wine that is fermenting, then we in our own life to sort of stretch the wineskins and become all that we'd have in the wisdom of life, what we need to do is to be able to press on in life through the adversity and difficulty of life. And then in order to do that, we need to be able to forget what lies behind. In some cases, the sins and shortcomings, some things, the pain of the past, and even the great memories, to treasure them, but to be able to look forward in life and then to strain towards what is ahead. Because what is ahead? Not only the goals that we have, but the goal that one day we will be reunited in our home forevermore. We'll be able to cross the finish line of life with other saints who will be applauding and to present the things that we've done that last for all eternity before our Lord and Savior in all of life. And so Paul says this, not that I have already obtained this or have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Beloved, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want to reflect on this. I shared this previously, but I think there's a great truth in New Year that one of the books that I love so much by Robert Fulghum, he wrote a book called Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, which is nice, but he's got these eternal truths, and he shares how that he was in this grocery store, just a small grocery store in a small rural town in Idaho, and he was in a grocery store line, and he looked at the front of the store as he was in the checkout line, and he saw a revolving door. And there was a little sign on that revolving door that said, the only way out is in. And so he thought to himself, you know, there's a real truth there. The only way out is in. And we focus on the outside so often, but the truth is, to really change the outside, the only way to change it is from within, from Christ alone who changes our heart and life. And then the outside begins to show the only way out is in. And the other thing he saw as he was waiting for the cash register to give him his change was there's a little sign that said this, please accept your change and take it with you. And he thought to himself, you know, the way that we make an impact on our world is to accept the change that we have in Christ and then to go out into the world and to live that out in the world like a light in the darkness. And so accept your change and take it with you, not just Sunday morning, but the rest of the week, and not just here, but out in the world. And so how do we have a great start to New Year? To make this a new year, I think that we, you know, have some goals that are worthy. We accept the change that we have from Christ, and we know that only Christ makes all things new. But in order to achieve everything that God has for us in life, then we need to take our gifts and talents, and we need to be able to press on through the challenge and adversity. We need to be able to forget what is behind, and then we need to strain forward to what lies ahead, the goals that Christ Jesus has for us. I want to close with this story. I'm a fan of Alex and Felix, a great U.S. Olympian track and field star. And early in her career, she had some success in college, but when she went to Beijing for the Olympics, she did not do as well as she wanted. In fact, she, in her own mind, had failed in many ways. And she shared this with the Associated Press. She said, after Beijing, I was devastated. I'd worked as hard as possible, but I came up short. But I decided to rededicate myself even harder, and it was a blessing in disguise. I was able to work harder than ever before, and finally it all came together. Well, after that moment, she had tremendous success in the Olympics in 2012, and then, if you recall, then in the 2016 Olympics, not that long ago, she earned 2 golds and 1 silver medal, bringing her Olympic totals to 9 Olympic medals for this young woman. And it isn't just that. She says that her faith is part of that. Her father is an ordained clergy, but moreover, her faith is her own. And she said this, for me, my faith is the reason I run. I definitely feel I have this amazing gift that God has blessed me with, and it's all about using it to the best of my ability. And she said after the 2016 Olympics, she said, thank you, Lord. It was just a flood of joy and emotions. You've probably seen pictures of her celebrating with her friends and even praying after the race. Well, all of us aren't destined to be Olympic runners, but you and I all have a race to win, a race that God has set before us, and we've got gifts and talents that God has blessed us with, and God would have us to reflect the new year on goals that serve others and honor Him and use the gifts and talents that we have. And in order to do that, we have to accept our new life from Christ, but then we need to press on through challenge and adversity, straining forward, and then to forget what is behind and to strain forward to the finish line of life. Sometimes we do grow weary, and Paul, I think, has the key to all of this, and he says, I take hold of that for which God has taken hold of me. And it's a beautiful imagery. As hard as he strains, he knows that the reason he can accomplish that is that God has reached down and has pulled him forward towards his loving arms. And you and I can lean into the strength of Almighty God. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, as we face a new year, we look at the past and we all have some sins and shortcomings in life. And so we give those to you and ask for your forgiveness and grace. We have some things to celebrate, some wonderful things, and so help us to treasure those memories and accomplishments, and help us to use that in a way that helps us to move forward. And we have some painful moments that we need to surrender to you, that we know only you can bring healing. But help us to allow you to baptize us in a new year with your love and the power of the Holy Spirit that makes all things new. Help us, through your grace, to press on through hill and valley and challenge and adversity. Help us to be able to forget what is behind and to just be able to let go and give it to you. Then help us to strain forward to the goals that you'd have us in this new year, to realize there's some things that you have yet in our future, in our destiny, but it takes us working with you and relying on your strength and your grace. Bless our lives that we can bless others using our gifts and talents for you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.